for December the 19th, 2025, we talk about Guilty as Sock, Ember, Ace Combat 7, Skies Unknown, and much more. Welcome to Level 569. My name is Kay Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
And I'm Jala Prendez.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. We are rocking it three style in our post-Duckstream episode. I think that's going to dominate a lot of the conversation. But Duckstream was this past weekend, and it was a huge success. With matches and, you know, so everybody's donations with the matches that we had and with merch revenue and Twitch revenue, we brought in just a little bit over $32,000 the community put together.
Wild. Amazing. Thank you, everyone.
In our first year of raising for Point of Pride, and we got an email from them saying, like, oh my gosh, wow, it's unbelievable. The, you know, because like the raw donations that went in before everything else. And it's just like, oh, sorry, I haven't emailed them back yet. And so like, keep an eye out.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. You mean they only saw the 10,000 number, or they
only saw the 11,700 number.
We'll know when they find out, because the sound of those minds exploding is going to be audible from anywhere.
That's a lot of binders.
So many binders.
So it was a great event. I had a great time. I am so tired though.
Yeah, I know you are.
And that's just in addition to the general, you know, it's a rough time of year for like doing things and having energy. So thanks to both of you for hopping on and being on the multiplayer.
Oh my God, it was herding cats. cats, for real.
We had some logistical issues.
It was a real life gift to the Magi.
Yeah. Times were swapped for the other's sake, and then it was a whole deal, but the end result was we got on and it was fun and we played some games and it was a good time. Yes. So that is, I mean, that's my banter, really, is just the how Duckstream went. Jala, how about you?
Oh, banter. Okay. I don't know. Last time, I don't have anything that's bigger than Duckstream. Let's just put it that way. But
we're not trying to one up each other. I mean, no. Your thing might be nice.
Then why even come?
Well, so I don't remember if I talked about it last time, but I finished writing the narrative part of my text venture game, and then I went through in the last couple of weeks, I've been just going through everything meticulously and doing a bunch of editing and cleaning some things up and whatever, because basically I wrote the first couple of acts in the prologue before all the stuff with my dad. And then so like there was this long hiatus and then I got back to it. And so, with that time gap and then of course, some other stuff I was doing, some writing prompt stuff I was doing to try to get back into writing again and everything, kind of altered a little bit of how my style is, but like I went back and was trying to, you know, make it more cohesive in that way. All of that is done now, though, in terms of the narrative and the way that the basic game functions. So now all I have to do is all of the art assets and the sound effects and the music and the UI and the puzzles. So, you can play the story. You can play the story. You just don't get all the shiny stuff. But
just ask ChatGPT to do it. It'll be fine.
For fuck's sake.
No. Yeah. So anyway, but so like it is fully playable. I've actually had a couple of people go through it so far. And big shout out to Rookie, number one fan of my thing, who played it first, like was there 100% for all of my, you know, process and was the first one to go through and play through it. And so far it's approximately 3-ish hours before adding in puzzles and things. So like depending on your reading speed, of course, because it's all text. But anyway, if anybody is interested in playing the alpha version of this, it is available. I can send it to you. So yes, let me know if you want to be a tester, because everybody wants the polished product. They all want to wait for the end. But like, you need the feedback early, not at the end, not when it's done. It's, you know, so
after you need text lock before you get asset lock, right.
And like now is the best time for me to have any kind of feedback because I haven't finished doing all of the other things yet. So like there's not all the time commitment to all of the other parts yet. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's my big news. So
congratulations on reaching that milestone.
Yay. Yeah. I was trying to finish my thing before Matsy from Dratsy Games, who's working on Alterium Shift, finished his shit.
Okay.
And nice. So he didn't know we were competing, but I won, and that's all that matters. So.
Dennis, how about you?
Oh, I mean, Duckfeed was the big one. I just got back like immediately before recording from the Festival of Lights at the Cincinnati Zoo.
Okay.
Which is always very fun, running around in the dark with cool lights everywhere. The animals aren't really out, but mostly it's just to see kind of these cool gardens strung up with lots of lights and then kind of like inner lit paper mache animals.
Ooh.
Like really, really fun little luminaries, I guess you could call them.
Cool.
Or luminary-esque items. We were on our way out. I was on time for our usual start. And then the kids were like, oh, the carousel's open. Can we do the carousel?
Oh, yeah. You got to take at least one spin.
Right.
Yeah. I rode a zebra that had a like a Santa hat affixed to it.
Okay.
Milo was on a gorilla. Barrett did another zebra actually, and then who's left? Luke was on a like gazelle with the horns. We're all decked out with like jingle bells. So they went all out and making it Christmassy. That was fun.
That is very cute.
Cool. Yeah.
I love how you were like fishing for who the hell do I have in my family? Who are my kids?
Which one? Yeah.
You know what it's bad names? When it's like, okay, I didn't have to constantly yell at the one next to me to stop doing stuff they shouldn't. So that was Milo. You kind of got the check down of stuff.
Right. That's funny.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that was fun. Duckstream just takes the cake, though.
Yeah.
So happy to be a part of that.
Yeah. Wonderful. I think we should get to talking about games. Because like I don't have anything except what I played at Duckstream, but it's worth talking about that because it was fun. So let's do the regular kind of show. What with the grind, the multiplayer, and the end boss.
The grind.
And let's get started with the grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the last period of time or so. So I'll do mine here, the stuff I did by myself, and then we can talk about the multiplayer things together, and then we can segue off into the other stuff. So for the first day, I played what I called a perfectly normal playthrough of Resident Evil 7. It was Resident Evil 7 with the Simpsons characters modded in.
Yeah, I think it was titled a perfectly cromulent playthrough.
It depended on where it was. I think I put cromulent on the schedule on like the fundraiser page.
There you go.
But when I talked about it elsewhere, I didn't want to give it away. Because it's a little bit on the nose to call it perfectly cromulent, you know?
Yeah, that'll get the wheels spinning.
So obviously that's funny. It didn't quite rise to the level of Resident Evil 2 remake with the RoboCop, and that was like so many different mods put in on that. There are not that many for Resident Evil 7. I think that I peaked. I think that I started with the one that has the most wacky mods for it.
Yeah.
And now I needed to like change lanes because it's never going to be as good as that. But right. So it was just the Simpsons. And what was neat about it is, so it's using the Simpsons hit and run models. So like But also it's a pretty like quick and dirty mod. So the, like the hitboxes weren't updated on stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you have all of the zombies as Flanderses, moving like the floppy mold guys with a hitbox that's actually smaller than what they look like. Mm-hmm. It's like you're, yeah. it's like you're aiming at for like trying to shoot a person inside of a costume, inside right. of a mascot costume.
Now so, it would just be easy mode if their heads were actually the hitboxes.
Yes.
However, just because they're so big and cartoony.
I'm not looking forward to be super hard. Because RE7 is a little bit harder than I remembered, especially first going down into the basement and stuff. But it was real fun seeing the creativity on display with who they chose for what. There were some choices that I got to make, but like, so like Jack, the dad in the family, was replaced with Homer. And okay, Homer. And because he's a Resident Evil villain, he kind of mutates partway through. So there's this big fight in like a slaughterhouse cage kind of thing where Jack is like, you know, mutated a little bit more. So instead of just using either the model from the original game or instead of just using the Homer model, they switched it out for the model of Homer with the donut for a head from the Treehouse of Horror episode, where his head gets turned into a donut yes. and he keeps eating it. So people,
that plus the chainsaw scissors just made for an entirely surreal experience.
It was pretty neat. So that was fun. I stopped when I got to the boat section because I got anxious to start the next thing I was going to be doing, which is the I got the Bloodborne randomizer working on my PC. So not only did I have to get Bloodborne working on PC using, you know, the guides that are like half completed for different versions and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But also I had to like get the mods installed in such a way that the entire thing didn't collapse in on itself. But the result was really good. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun. Randomizers, you know, if you've not, I mean, especially for a Souls game like that, if you've not watched one or played one where every item pick up on the ground is like a different, like, pull of the slot machine lever. And like you get up to a boss, you know, the boss arena wall, you know, the fog gate, and you're standing there. And then just in the chat, it's like, oh, all right, chat, who's it going to be? Because yeah. the bosses are randomized. And it's like, okay.
Now they were still bosses all the time, just...
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
There were options in the mods where you could take the bosses and replace them with the regular enemies sometimes. I didn't do that one. I did see a very small possibility that a regular enemy could be replaced with a boss, but that never fired in the, you know, 8-ish hours that I played it.
Okay.
Yeah. But I got lucky right away. One of the starting weapons I got was Ludwig's Holy Sword, which is a very good weapon. And then a few good boss run kind of picks. But like Cleric Beast was Abreatus, like an end game super boss with HP scaled down, but defense not scaled down. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. Or no, it was Gascoigne. It was Gascoigne who was Abreatus. So the hunter who transforms halfway through his fight starts got out it. As Abreatus, okay. and then he transformed into Dark Beast Parle. It's so hard not to call him Dark Beast Carl, like yes. the big werewolf thing that's like crackling with electricity, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Cleric Beast was Murgo's Wet Nurse, another endgame boss.
Yeah, that's right at the end.
Yeah. Sheesh. I won't go through the entire thing with like who replaces what. I'm going to try to get the VODs up on YouTube or something so people can see. But it was a real crowd pleaser. I kept it a surprise until I just, you know, announced it. I was like, yeah, because there's some things you can promote and then some things where it's like, all right, here we go. So
there's people that are showing up for Duckstream no matter what, and you want to give them a treat too.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So yeah, that's like the two things that I had, the Resident Evil 7 and the Bloodborne randomizer. Did you guys see any of that? Have any questions about how that worked?
I think I saw the end or where you got softlock on the Bloodborne run was whichever boss has like three, and one of them you just could not find in the arena.
Yeah,
was that the end? Actual the end, or was that
no?
Okay,
the ROM fight, who actually ended up being Martyr Logarius, was the end.
Okay,
the Shadows of Yharnam is the boss fight that you're talking about.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I ended up. So I tried using the like the mods to be like, okay, well, I can just work past this or whatever. But like when I was trying to, you know, figure that out, I saw like little itty bitty enemies like standing next to where the boss who showed up. Uh-huh. Okay, so Shadows of Yharnam, three bosses show, you know, three or it is normally three enemies that become three regular enemies later on. And you can toggle it to have like easy mode or hard mode for that. Hard mode is this is just three different bosses that you're fighting all at once right here. There are a couple of different boss fights that are like that. I chose easy for all of those because I didn't want to. I'm not that good at Bloodborne to begin with, and I hadn't played for like 5 years, I think.
sure.
Yeah. So in the easy mode, the you get one boss who happened to be German. Again, end game boss, like the last boss that most people fight in the game. The other two bosses, they still need to spawn in something. So they spawned in like these tiny little like alien dudes that like you couldn't walk into. So I spend all this time defeating Gehrman. An enemy spawned in the Forbidden Woods where that arena is. That is like a sword that creates a big cloud of swords in the sky that like shoot at you and like will always
hit,
right? And they were raining down during the boss fight every time I was in there. So I had to go in, I had to go outside of the arena, every time I went back to it and, kill that thing. Otherwise I was fighting Gehrman with just, an infinite and unstoppable stun every few seconds.
Swords.
Oh, yeah.
So I beat Gehrman and then the game just like locked. Like it was just quiet. Not quiet. Yeah. It was just, you know, I was like, well, where the fuck? You know, you see these, other health bars. I was going around looking for the guy. Nothing. It was only when I figured out that it was the little alien dudes, that I had to like, attack without targeting, that I got the, you know, prey slaughtered, update.
I got to watch that boss fight, see you succeed. And then you were just looking around the level and I had to leave before you figured it out. So I was like, oh no. But yeah. Okay. Glad to hear that at least had a happy end.
Yes. I didn't end up beating Logarius. Cause Logarius is really hard, especially in that ROM arena, but regardless, anything else about those before we get to multiplayer stuff?
No, I was watching the Bloodborne stuff for a little bit. Most of Saturday I was out, so I caught like a second of what you were doing with the Resident Evil stuff on that day.
Nice. Yeah. Other stuff. So both days we had some multiplayer that we did. The first day we did Ember, which is a really neat game. You're playing as gig worker firefighters. In this really cartoony kind of setting, going into burning buildings.
For-profit firefighters.
Yes. You are trying to rescue clients and then also either salvage their stuff for them or rob them blind.
the libertarian ideal.
Yeah. Before the time limit runs out and stuff like that. And there are like a bunch of different kinds of objectives you can attempt to do. You know, like different, you know, same map, but different, you know, level, you know, different objectives. Sorry.
Everyone that I played had a safe in it that you needed kind of an elaborate electrical setup to open. Mm-hmm. So kind of like, you know, solving a puzzle while the room is burning down around you.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's universal. Every single level has it, but yeah, that was a recurring theme.
Yes. Yeah. That game is janky. Oh my God. So many times where people fell through the floor. Like the graphics were kind of barely holding together. Jala, when we tried to play with you on the second day, it just made your computer scream in agony. Yeah.
It just screamed and just like, I was like, okay, my computer was built like last year.
Yeah.
What the hell? No. Like at the end of last year, it's like barely a year old. Like, what the hell, man? And
we captured the moment that AI gained sentience and it was just pissed off at this fucking game.
Right. So yeah, I was like, okay, I have my Steam Deck if you want. But then, by the time I finally got everything all adjusted, it was like, we're just going to move on. And it's like, okay, fine.
Yeah, well, there were like headphone problems too, like getting you on voice chat. It was, like we said, logistical problems that are like not really your fault.
And the wild thing is that it worked just fine when I was playing the freaking intro thing and it didn't have any problems when I booted up and I played a single player, but multiplayer just killed it. It just killed my computer for some reason. And I'm like, okay, I mean, like, it, my computer still worked. It was just screaming. And I'm like, okay.
I mean, we want to hear you. We would like to talk to you.
I mean, it got to the point where when I was on and people could hear the screaming of my computer in the background, they're like, that makes me think my router's dying. I'm like, I don't want everybody to start having anxiety attacks.
It sounds, I mean, like I've woken up to that sound so many times. It sounds like a battery backup that has been disconnected from the power main.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. That's
so weird.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it was that. And then it also happened a little bit with Peak when I tried to boot that up. And I was like, I don't know why it's doing it with Peak, but okay, whatever.
So, I don't know.
But it's only been like, I play all these other things that are way newer, way more graphically intense. And, you know, like, no problems with any of those. And I do everything else on here, no problem. But those
games. Well, I imagine this isn't the first time that you've played on a Discord call, right?
No, not at all.
No.
Yeah. So I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
To speak on the game a little bit, just for Ember, it was very fun to run around and loot and put out fires and save people who are all like not running from the fire because they're absorbed in their phones, which I appreciate that little bit.
So a little bit of social commentary.
Yeah. I was surprised that for a multiplayer game, there seemed to be very little direct interaction.
Like, yeah,
I didn't really find any places where I had to be working with someone else to do the thing. And in general, just this could have just been me being lost and confused, but like 90% of the time I'm running around the level with just no idea where anyone else is. Like, I assume y'all are in there doing the same kind of things I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But until we gathered at the exit, you kind of start together, end together, and otherwise don't see each other.
So on the second day when we were waiting for Jala to get her stuff set up, Moxie and I played it was called Ember Delivery, was one of the game modes where it's Uber Eats plus fire rescue. Okay. So like, you have clients who are standing in a burning building who have ordered their food and you cannot pick them up until you bring them their burger or pizza.
That is very funny.
And while you're carrying the burger, you can't do anything. And so like we were playing it and we were trying to coordinate with each other as we were trying to figure out like what the limitations were. It ultimately didn't work, but like that is one where it's like, okay, we could both go and, you know, deliver on our own and drop this and hope it survives in the fire and clear the way and go. But like, it was one where like, I could see if you had four people working in two teams with one person clearing the way and like turning off the switches for the electricity and stuff and laying down ladders as bridges while the other person carried the food and then, you know, grab the client, get out and then work your way to the next one. Right.
Very cool. Yeah.
So I think we just were like playing the basic mode, which was just like a free for all kind of thing.
Yeah, and I don't, it wasn't individually scored that I could see. I don't mind that there's a range of co-op intensity to play with. Like, you know, if we just want to jabber and not really pay attention to what's going on the screen, then the base mode is great. Yeah. And if you want something a little more teamwork intensive, then you go into a different mode. So that's good to hear.
It's pretty smart. Yeah. Dennis, you, I, and Moxie played Peak with each other.
And we got a real bastard of a mount.
Okay. I was curious because like I've seen this game hailed as like this, you know, chill, just, you know, yapping game.
I swear it is.
Yeah. So we were playing it, and I was just like, man, I'm spending a lot of time not playing this game because I would fall. And then, like, even in the best case scenario, if you would have gotten me, I would have had to watch while you carried me to the next, you know, little place where I could be raised. Yes. Or I died and I was following you around as a ghost, you know, and that was me and Moxie as ghosts because you were the only person who knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
So, like, I was just like, wow, this is, like, I have no idea how it got this reputation if everything is as tough as this.
Yeah.
So it's good to hear that's not representative.
No, that is that the mountain that we were on. So for anyone not familiar, I know we've talked about the game on the show before.
Yeah.
It's a climbing game, but the mountain is randomly generated once every 24 hours. And so for that day, you can play on the same mountain over and over. I think the item drops are randomized, but the geography is all the same. So you can kind of learn it and get further. And I think I joked, man, if only there was another good example of a game where knowledge compresses space.
Yeah. And then I almost fought you.
I was proud of myself for that one. It's not Duckstream if I don't trade K. Wow. Troll yeah. K at least a little bit.
Yeah.
So there were more of those like poison sea anemone things than I've ever seen on a mountain. And then just like the length of climbs before getting anywhere to stand were felt longer. So,
yeah,
go figure.
Yeah. It sucks that you're just locked into that one mountain for the day though, that you can't like go into an archive and select them by, you know, difficulty or whatever. Right.
And some of that trades on like the ephemerality, the ephemeralness of it.
I don't care. I don't know. Yeah. I don't care.
Like that can be fun that like, okay, you know, I've got this window of time to play and I'm not, you know, this is, I gotta be in the moment. I'm not going to see this again. That's, that's got an appeal. I think if whatever they spawn in is on the harder end and that happens to be the one time that you're trying to show your friends how fun and chill of a game this is, it's kind of a bad time.
Or, you know, like not even that. It's just like, okay, like it's been 2 weeks since we were able, you know, to do our regular gaming night. Like this is the only time we can make it work. Right. And then, you know, because not everybody has like an event. Like we just got especially unlucky, but just like, well, shit, we got Bastard Mountain again.
Yes. There was also, they were nominated for the Game Awards, which is crazy because it's a game jam game.
Yeah.
That then they polished up and put out as an actual thing. And I think they did kind of like a mock Fortnite music event in celebration of their Game Awards. So like we spawned in, got ourselves killed, spawned in again, and I blew a trumpet that put us into a music video.
Yeah, there was a kaiju-sized rapper who people in the chat seem to recognize. I'm not even going to make a joke about being out of touch. I just don't follow that kind of music, right? Or do you the modern, you know, modern versions of rap. I've got no idea. But like we were just kind of trapped in it and it was making it hard to talk.
Yes. So, and then, yeah, then third time's the charm, except as we just covered, same hellish mountain to be on. So I'm sure if we wind up hanging out off air and decide to dip back in, it'll be a better time.
Yeah.
But there's also like, we had a lot of fun with a lot of games. So maybe those will get more attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll tell you what was fun.
Yeah. Let's move on to the one that Jala was there for. Dennis, sorry you weren't here for this, but Jala and I can talk about it.
Dennis. I was mid Gift of the Magi on this one. I'm so mad that I didn't get to play.
It's something we're gonna have to do, but we're gonna need more people.
We're gonna need more people for sure.
Like it needs to be at least the full level crew in order to do this.
Yeah.
We played a game.
Am I hearing a Patreon tier? Let's go.
I mean, I don't know about a tier, but like if we want to do a patrons only stream of it. Jolly, this is a game that you found and sent me in Signal a while back.
A long time ago.
because we're both fans of Phoenix Wright. Uh-huh. You had sent it to me and I was like, oh, that looks interesting. And then you brought it for Duckstream. I was like, yeah, let's go ahead and try that. I had no idea that it was like a social improv game.
So it's Guilty as Sock, where you play sock puppet people who are basically filling an entire courtroom And you can pick to be the judge or the prosecutor and this, that, and the other, the witnesses. There's a bailiff role, a bunch of different roles that you can have. And then you have these cards, which are what you use to prompt yourself. Like if you're the prosecutor or the defendant, you have cards that are prompts that you can use in your story that you're telling, either to prosecute your defendant or to defend your client or whatever. Yeah. And then like the Twitch, like it's meant for even streaming and things too, because you can ask the Twitch audience, who are the jury basically, questions and have them answer yes or no. And then you can also have them throughout the thing actively vote guilty or not guilty. And, you know, like the judge has independent sway over whether or not they decide to go with the verdict from the Twitch chat, which came up in our game.
Yep.
as well. But I found out that apparently, at least when we were playing, I was on fire. And I'm really good as a prosecutor and a defense attorney, because I won as a prosecutor and a defense attorney both times. So, and then that was out of what,
I'm sorry.
Two,
let me
three?
Find my yeah. surprise face. It's over there.
So.
Yeah, I enjoyed being well. The one time that I was the defense, I was also the defendant.
You were, because I accused you. Yeah, I did.
That always goes well,
right? Oh! I also was the judge once, but I'm terrible as a judge. I don't need to be a judge ever.
I felt fine as a judge because like you're controlling the flow of it, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And that's the thing, is that I'm just sitting here and I'm just being myself, which is just like, okay, well, you tell me what you think and whatever. Yeah. I'm don't care. I'm bad as a judge.
I need help understanding the structure, because I get the convention of being in a courtroom. I don't actually understand how it all functions as a game.
So so everybody picks their roles. You have to have at least a judge, a prosecutor, and a defense attorney. And then before anybody else can do anything, the prosecutor has to name the defendant and then name what the charge is, which is how I charged Kay with improperly, like failing to pet them kitties enough.
Yeah.
and so that was what Kay got charged with.
Yeah.
Okay. When I was prosecutor, because that was what I chose to put out there.
Outside
call
of
a character witness on that one.
Well, I mean, just and part of the case was like everybody could see I had a good excuse.
Right,
as the defendant, tried to make it a question of, well, not petting them enough. You know, like basically,
well, what is enough?
What is enough? And ought implies can, and is my being busy raising this money more important than the temporary discomfort of the cats? There was, are cats capable of entering into the contract?
Drunk. Yeah, they also got drunk. The cats got drunk and ordered pizza, and I don't know what else was going on. It was a very, like, because of all the prompts, the card prompts. Mm-hmm. So
are these are just items of evidence, or what are the card prompts?
Yes. So you have the prosecutor will put the information out there. Okay, this is who they're, what they're charged for. So then they kick it off and say, okay, well, this is the motive or whatever. And then, you know, start the whole proceeding with, this is what I think. And you're using these cards that you have to pick from that are randomly generated to build your case.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the judge is, of course, kind of officiating the entire thing. And then, you know, defense has the ability to interject or, you know, put their side of things. And you go back and forth and back and forth. Yeah.
So
and
the problem,
spin it however. So, like, then you come up with stuff like, what was it Moxie did with ninjas?
It was something about stealing thigh high socks, like like
Fort Knox with ninjas. I don't
no,
know.
No, it was beneath the Denver airport.
Oh, okay.
Which is where the strategic reserve of.
I feel like I'm having a stroke trying to.
Exactly, that's the point. It's totally improv. It's improv off of these random prompts that you've got, and you've got to make somehow a story where, you know, you are either implicating someone or exonerating them from blame because of the stuff that you're BSing with all these different little cards in front of you. And I don't know what some of the roles are, because you can also have people play witnesses, which that could be complete
chaos.
That
sounds really fun.
That sounds so silly. Yep, and then I don't even know what the bailiff does, but they have a role. And so,
from watching the trailer, they basically hit people.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
So, like, the judge has the ability to, like, stun people, like, and make them not be able to do anything, or, you know, just, like, basically, like, a couple of seconds of time out. I think the bailiff is more just, like, a disruptive element. Mm-hmm. There's another role called the journalist that seems really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, a couple of times during the, during the trial, the journalist has a pad where you can draw stuff that is, like, the headline. Or, you know, like the photo, the newspaper image, and then you write the headline just to throw a curveball in, you know, like scandal, blah, 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 for everybody to go. So your question does of like, so what's the structure? It's whatever you impose on it.
Right.
Like it is the prosecutor decides the charge, and you can even upload a little picture to be the face of the defendants. Mm-hmm. And then the prosecution and the defendants have those cards, just like a random, you know, basically like hand of like 12 cards. And you can play five of them over the course of, you can only play five.
Mm-hmm. So it's like an apples to apples where you're submitting a thing that your hand has been forced on you. You pick from that for what you think matches the best, but you also can
You make up the story around it.
Yeah.
That's great. That's really fun.
And what's also cool is that you can also upload your own card decks. So you can put your own prompts in there, which means that you could theoretically put a whole bunch of duck feed in jokes or whatever. You could put, you know, eldritch monstrosities and you know, Lovecraftian crap in there if you want to and make it like that, whatever you want to do.
I have never liked the make your own card feature of those kind of party games. I don't know. Yeah. It feels wrong.
Well, I will say that like the number of cards that you have by default is pretty limited. So like
up a few times. Yeah.
Yeah. So you would want to make your own cards eventually for this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like it would be hard to have a larger pool. They just didn't do it.
Yeah, or maybe that was to leave room for people to do it. Right. Maybe that's supposed to be its own thing.
I mean, like the whole game is kind of structured around allowing people to do their own thing. So
So I think that like it's up to the judge to like structure the thing, and and you can be as opening statement, closing statement, blah blah blah. But it's like you as the judge decide who has the ability to present evidence at this point. Mm-hmm. And then it is literally just improv storytelling around it, which mm-hmm. is like going to be your thing or not. Like, especially like, even just to watch it, like, you know, there's huge theater energy. All of us were talking like this.
Except for me when I was getting into my voice that I use when I get mad at Danganronpa or whatever. When I was imposing my logic in arguing my case, like arguing. But anyway.
Yeah. To give an example of like how the evidence flows, when the question was, you know, were the cats capable of entering into an agreement where I would feed and pet them when enough money came in? You know, like, were they competent to enter that contract?
Right.
One of the things that I had was an empty bottle of wine. So I played that and said, I didn't buy this wine. I didn't open this wine. I didn't drink this wine. It must be that the cats, drank this. Therefore, they have the ability to enter into this contract.
And of course, I flipped that and was like, no, if it's an empty bottle of wine, that means they are drunk. they are obviously incompetent.
And then you played a pizza box saying, you know, like,
they were
okay.
A party.
Yeah, they were having a party. They were unable because of their party. I'm like, yes, they could. And so I hit back with a full mailbox that hasn't been emptied in a while. I was like, that pizza box could have been mine from a while ago. My life is a disaster.
Yeah. And so it just goes back and forth. Mm-hmm.
Well, and the fact that you guys can like play that back beat by beat so clearly, like, just speaks to how well it how powerful a tool for creating stories it is.
Right. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
really cool.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So like, you gotta be like, it took us a little bit, I think, to get on our feet and get the rhythm and you know what have you, and especially as we were trying out all the different roles.
Mm-hmm. But
I was like really impressed with it as like a, because most social games that you see are deception based, right? They are social deduction, kind of deal. I like those. I'm good at those.
I hate them.
I don't.
I don't like them.
You hate them. I think Ben enjoys them. Moxie hates them. Dennis, I don't know how you like what you're feeling.
Hate them.
So yeah.
I'm not.
I don't hate the concept. I hate how bad I am at
it. Okay. I don't like the concept. So like yeah. I don't want to deceive people. So I don't have time or energy for this. I don't. Like, I get tired thinking about it. No.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Thank you.
So to have one that is, like, still, you know, competitive, but it is just, you know, yes-anding each other.
Right.
You know, like, and taking stuff into weird directions, you know. Everybody, there's a lot of buy-in required for everybody involved. Yeah. But if you get people with that buy-in who are able to play ball and not just like, you know, slam it to the ground and say, no, this is my story. Then, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Sorry. You weren't there for it.
Me too. Yeah. I was there for the what's becoming quickly the level classic though.
Yeah. Pico Park. Yeah.
Pico Park.
We did do that. That's the puzzle platformer where you can play with like up to like 8 or 10 people or something.
No,
like
I'm convinced you could not play with 8
Well,
people.
I mean, technically like you can get 8 people into a game. You're not going to win.
Right? No.
Yes.
Someone would strangle someone else through the internet at that point. They would find a way to devolve.
Yeah, like us just trying to figure out, like, because, like, it's not, like, every stage is something different. And it's like, what even is this? And then how do we communicate about how to do this? And then how do we keep focused? Because
Bullet hell, people could not talk and do bullet hell at the same time. That was not working.
Yeah, it's just like, can we lock in for, like, 30 seconds, please?
Right. But you do, like, it's almost like, all right, silent on the comms. We got to like, you know, and that doesn't make for the best. I don't know. Maybe people enjoyed that, but I wouldn't think it makes for the best streaming.
Well, what makes for the better streaming? Silence for 30 seconds or repeated failures over and over again?
I know for a fact
it's the failures.
Get half of a thought out and then like, oh shit. Sorry guys.
Yeah.
And there's a whole dynamic of like who asserts a leadership over this and just like coordinates and everything. And I'm just here like, I don't want to do it, but I can see how we do this.
Mom!
And
if
we
can just Mom, can you help?
Oh gosh.
We need an adult. I thought because you know, we kind of built on the progress we made last year, and these levels, at least from memory. There was a little bit more of, as you mentioned, Kay, having to figure out what even the gimmick was. Mm-hmm. And I found that really enjoyable. Like the like, okay, what is actually going on here? And we're all figuring that out in tandem. That was almost this time around for me more fun than the executing it once we all rocked what was supposed to happen.
Yeah. It was almost like it was like in the same zip code as like a WarioWare kind of thing mm-hmm. where all you have is the visual setup and the one word, you know, slice. It's like, what does slice mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. What do you mean I have a turret on my head? I don't understand. It is fun to figure out new systems once you've got them fully figured out. The process of getting 4 people executing it well enough to move on to the next one.
Right.
They're right on that line of how long you can force people to do that.
Right.
I think overall still a very good time though.
But doing it a few hours every year or so is good.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, there's definitely like this bell curve of performance, right? Like at the beginning, everybody's dying a lot and then everybody's like right on it. And then you start dropping off really fast. Like that last level we were doing was miserable.
Oh no, that was really, really hard. Painful. And we beat it at like, right. And I was like, okay, we're going to be done like at 5, uh-huh. you know, I want to have time to make more progress in the Bloodborne randomizer. Because I made a big deal about it.
Because that's actually fun.
Well, no.
but
it was like, okay, you know, for like four hours to end out the stream feels good. And like it was like at the last second. And I was like, let's go until 5. And then like at like 4:59, we got it.
Yeah. Heroic, dare I say.
Yeah. I don't know.
It was so far, but.
I think that's everything we played.
Should we do it again next year?
Ah, probably.
What do you think?
Yeah.
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 Good times. Yeah. So that's literally all that I have because I spent so much time getting ready for that.
Right.
Yeah. Jala, I know that you played something that looks kind of neat.
Oh, kind of neat. It's really neat. Really neat. So I did some streaming again. I dusted off my streaming stuff and did some streaming last week because I took a couple of days off of work. And this is a game that I played for Next Fest. So I talked about this once before back in June or whenever it was that that Next Fest was that I played a bunch of demos on stream. I don't know. Anyway, it's called One-Eyed Liko. And this is based on Slavic folklore. This is a dark folklore game. And it's first person. It's a psychological horror adventure with some puzzles and stuff. It's by Morteshka. And this dev has made a couple of other games. I've never heard of this dev before, but after having played this game, I like it so much that I'm absolutely going to go and get their other two games and play both of them. The other games are The Moose Man and Black Book. And so both of those look interesting. One-Eyed Liko, it's L-I-K-H-O. That is, that's a cool game. Like, this is exactly my shit.
like the folk horror, like the very specific like folk horror from a culture kind of stuff. Yeah,
very specific from a culture kind of thing that's psychological, like leaning more towards psychological than like gross horror or anything.
A monochrome game.
It's monochrome, but it's like really moody and stuff.
Oh, like this is like super like it is. Like it would be reminiscent of Cryptmaster, but it is not like sketchy. It's like much more like high detailed, but also really high contrast. This is like super expressionistic.
Right, right. Yeah. And it's set in 19th century Russia. And anybody who knows like my current dive into stuff, like I'm in the middle of my gothic horror phase again, which it never really goes away. I'm always in my gothic horror phase. But like I tend to like a lot of media that came out at the end of the 1800s and the first part of the 1900s. And so this is exactly in that wheelhouse. It's you know, gothic looking. It's folk horror. It's all this other stuff. So you play a smith who is drinking and, you know, doing his smithing stuff, but he's drinking and he's talking to his buddy, the tailor, and they don't have names. They're just by their occupation because this is a folk tale. And he's just like, I've never seen evil in the world. I want to go find the Liko, you know, which is this critter that's allegedly could grant your wish, whatever wish you want, if you can find it and, you know, like solve its riddles or whatever, kind of like a sphinx in that way. And so anyway, he's like, I want to go and find it. And the tailor's like, good idea. I'm rich and I have never seen evil in this world. I think it's a good idea to go into the dark forest, especially after drinking and especially without a torch or a weapon. Let's go. Let's so like you just start the game and you're just fucking off in the dark forest at night talking about now, what you're going to do when you find the Liko. And
is this you paraphrasing or do they literally say it that explicitly?
Oh, no, not exactly this way. But they do say that they never did see evil and they want to find evil. And like all of that is in there.
It sounds almost exactly like the setup for Stalker, almost. the movie, right? Just like, oh, you have these people who are just named after their professions that have that have their own philosophy on this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So like then the tailor and the smith end up coming to this cottage basically out in the woods. And then they open it up and they go inside and then they start solving all these puzzles and stuff. And then they get into progressively weirder and weirder spaces because they've entered into from going into the cottage, they've entered into the Liko's territory. And then like, all of these things, like the entire narrative from there just goes off in directions that if I keep trying to tell you, it's just going to sound bizarro as fuck because it's folk story shit that like is not going to make any sense. If you want to see me play through it, though, it is on my Twitch VOD. It's also on my YouTube archive. It took me, and if you want to play it yourself, please do that. It's about, well, for me, it was about 5 hours streaming it, which it's not going to take that long if you're not entertaining people and, you know, like managing a stream and everything. So maybe 4.5-ish hours would be like a normal person's run through of this game. Anyway, it's about four and a half hours. I did it in two sessions. So a couple of videos out. You can find it twitch.tv/Jolichon or on YouTube at Jolichon as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like very, very cool. The sound design is fantastic. The graphics are great. Some of the stuff that happens in this game is wild, wild. And the ending was so good. The ending was so good. It's so worth it. So even if there's parts of it that seem a little bit slower while you're going through, like I feel it's a really good, well-paced game. But it's definitely a game that is an adventure game that has a bunch of puzzles that you have to solve to go to the next area. So like,
I was going to ask like where this stood and like, okay, is this an adventure game? Is this the puzzle game?
It's an adventure game.
Yeah.
It's an adventure game slash puzzle game. Like there's some puzzly things that you have to do. Not hard puzzles, but like a lot of, you have to wander around until you find the thing that you need for the whatever dongle over there, that kind of thing. It's really, really cool. The music is fantastic. The ending of the game, I just want to talk to somebody about it. Somebody play this game so I can talk to you about the ending of this game. It's great. It's great. I have one person I can talk to about it that I know saw enough of it. Alex Picklefects. Thank you for hanging out in that stream for 2 days straight while I was doing this, and saw the end of it. I don't know. There were other people, but they were like popping in and out. So I don't know if they got the full picture or not, but go watch the VOD. It was great. It was great. Yeah. I am absolutely going to get their other ones, especially Black Book looks like it's going to be up my alley. That's the one that they did right before this one. Yeah. So, but this one dropped this year. So July, I think. Mm-hmm. Of this year, so
I can see it. Yeah, late July.
Yeah.
No, I mean you sold me on it. I'm probably gonna stream this early in the next year.
Dream yeah, it. It's so good. Yeah. I love it. I will go watch you play it. I will watch you play it. I want to see it again anyway. So
well, it's such a good feeling when you find someone that does, as you phrased it, exactly your shit.
Yes.
And then on top of that, it's like, oh, you've been doing exactly my shit for a while.
Yeah.
And now I have a backlog.
Like, oh, hey.
Of exactly my, right. Yeah. So right. That's very cool. That's a great feeling.
I know.
And this is being sold in a bundle with Pathologic 2. Like that doesn't always mean something, but it means a little bit. Yeah.
Right. Well,
look, you are the company you keep, right?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like when you get to the end of this game, it will make you feel a bit of Pathologic 2 vibes at the end of this game. So
yeah,
I'll just leave it at that. You know.
Yeah. See. Put me in the pit.
Yes. Play it on a good mental health day.
Yes. at least the end. I mean, like, you don't know where it's all going. But one of the things that I really like, I do want to say this. One of the things I really do like about the way this game goes through. So like, there's lots of things that you can pick up that are optional. Like you get a book, and this book has a bunch of stories in it, and you get pages for this book from certain chests and stuff that you have to unlock, and you have to figure out how to unlock those. That's not required to advance the story, but you can do it just to get some more information, some more like backfiller, some more like folklore in your head, because like each of the different stories that you end up finding that are for this book is another story of another type of Cyclops character, because One-Eyed Liko is a Cyclops, has one eye. So these are different stories from around the world that are different tellings of essentially the same myth, the same original myth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, different spins on that from different cultures all over the place. And that ties into kind of like the bigger themes that are at the end of the game. So it's very cool. I like that a lot. It makes me want to go back in and then like get the pages that I missed for one or another reason, because I was like, oh, I don't want to mess with this. I have to move on. I need to finish the game, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, it's super cool. Super cool for sure.
Looks rad. I don't know that I have any questions. I just wanted to know how much rigor there was, because, you know, like just it can have a cool visual style and great narrative content and stuff, but it was just a walking sim.
Not a walking sim. Like there you're looking around exploring stuff. There's puzzles pretty actively, like pretty regularly throughout. Some of them are more like Resident Evil type puzzles, and some of them are more, no, this is actually like, you know, a puzzle where you have to rotate the things just so until you get the whatever, you know, whatever kind of nonsense. So
yeah. Cool. One-Eyed Lico.
Yeah.
Dennis, did you have anything besides Duckstream stuff?
Just one. So part of the Game Awards, which we might talk about in some news stories in a bit here, but part of the Game Awards was they announced Ace Combat 8. And Ace Combat has a near and dear place in my heart. And Ace Combat 7's VR missions, there were only three, but that was like the big thing that like enamored me with VR.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the process of trying to figure out if 8 was going to have VR, I realized that there is a free community made mod to make the entirety of 7's campaign, like main game campaign, in VR.
Oh, that's
and,
cool.
And then I looked over at Steam, and Ace Combat 7 was $5 on Steam.
Okay. Yeah.
So I've been fucking flying around in VR this week.
Cool.
So I remember there being a problem with the VR ones on PlayStation, like even though they were for VR, like it wasn't in cockpit or something. Like
it was in cockpit. It was missions separated from the main campaign. It was like its own standalone thing. We felt very clearly like, all right, we're going to section off something that VR can actually handle.
Right.
That I remember, the cockpits were all fully fleshed out there. That does bring up something interesting in getting the mod to work, where if you do the settings wrong, the cockpit just follows your head around wherever you look.
So it's just like a Michel Gondry like cardboard box on your head that looks like.
No, it does not actually change the direction of the plane. It just
you're fucked.
Very very disorienting. So I figured that out. This is my first foray into like a mod that is not just off of the Steam Workshop.
Uh-huh.
And it went very smoothly. I was happy with it.
Excellent.
And that I know I didn't install a bunch of viruses on my computer. So.
It always feels a little bit like that's going to happen. I've not run into it.
No, it's amazing how often it's just very cool people passionate about an idea who are
mods rule
any way they can. Oh yeah. Like, so now that I'm playing through the main campaign, I played the side missions in PSVR. Then I tried to go to the flat screen main campaign and just couldn't do it because it was. You can't go back. You can't unsee.
Okay.
That is what VR was meant for, was pretending to be in a fighter jet.
Yep.
And then after my frustrations with War Thunder and everything, like this finally is it. But I'm playing missions that I've played through before on a flat screen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the feel could not be more different.
Right.
I don't think I realized, even in the VR missions, like, again, that's kind of sectioned off. I didn't have a direct comparison. On a flat screen, how much you're just kind of chasing that arrow pointing which way you should be holding your left stick mm-hmm. to turn. And then, you know, you're kind of paying attention to the boxes that are on your HUD and pushing the button when the color changes.
That is an awful lot of what Ace Combat is, though.
Yeah. On a flat screen. Yes. Yes, it is. But when you're actually seeing all of this stuff in 3D space, it feels very different. Particularly with a big theme in Ace Combat 7 is the use of drone fighters that are like, you know, smaller and more agile and stuff. And being able to like, you know, chase those down and have a sense for the actual small size of them as they're going past your cockpit. And then just having a lot more 3D reference for how quickly they're moving.
Uh-huh.
They felt threatening in the VR sim in a way that they never did. On a flat screen, just because you have that removal.
Yeah.
A thousand little things like that. You know, there's a space elevator, which is super fun, and flying under the struts of the space elevator in VR is like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm having a blast with that. And I have not yet caught up to how far I got in the flat screen campaign, but I'm close. Mm-hmm. So I'll have new stuff to talk about. Generally, it seems the internet concludes that the story of Ace Combat 7 is a complete mess. If you're going to introduce fake countries, don't call them, what is it? Eurasia.
Asia
and Asia or something like that. It's like all, there's only one syllable difference on any of them. So I don't have any idea what the hell is going on the second time through.
I mean, even the biggest Ace Combat story defenders that I've seen, it's basically all just this sucks, I love it. they don't have a revulsion to anime melodrama, right?
Hey,
if they can have fun with it,
this is pseudo getting into end boss territory, but like I said, I was searching around to find out if Ace Combat 8 is going to be VR, and it seems the consensus, or like there was an interview with the director where they literally said like, well, we reached a point where we had to decide, do we make the best Ace Combat on a flat screen, or do we make the best Ace Combat in VR? And we're going to do it for the flat screen, so it's not even going to have VR.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like I said, the VR was meant for this. I cannot understand.
Not just having as big of a market is the thing.
There's going to be VR, but we'll still primarily focus on flat screen, but like we're not even going to do it.
I would like to, if you're going to say that, I would like to know what design compromises you feel are necessary.
Because the modders over here, like, the fuck? That was disappointing. I hope that tune changes between now and when that comes out. Because I don't think I'll get to the end of Ace Combat 7 and be anywhere near ready to hop out of the VR cockpit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's been my gaming outside of DuckStream.
Cool.
I think that's a segment. Multiplayer. Now it is time for the multiplayer, where usually we ask you a question and you answer it. But it is the end of the year and we are going to be indulgent. it is the most self-indulgent thing we do. It is the title of the year. I have no idea even how or why we started doing this.
I'm so glad we did, though.
So
technically, we did ask a question. The question was just like, which of the things we made up is your favorite?
Which of these 100 unfortunate turns of phrase tickles your fancy? We compiled all of those. If you listen after the theme song, we deliberate, like all of us usually write down titles and then pick them. But we have the what we call the A Toadies. We keep track of the ones that didn't win. Let's start with those before we get up to the real ones.
Sure. Right.
Yeah. So we have like a 7-way tie for fourth here.
Our top 10 is also a top 3.
Yes, yeah. Or top 4 rather. Yeah. And at the last one we have rearranging them guts. God,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry,
Dennis.
Sorry, I inflicted that on everyone.
I just so when somebody does something inappropriate and I'm like kind of doing the like chastising kind of thing in my head, I immediately go Gary, or like fucking Gary. So what I just said was Dennis.
No, Bart.
I'm sorry, I'm just so used to it. Lisa, no. Jala, what's the one up from that?
I can't tell you because the list that I see here that's in the Slack, it doesn't have that listed.
What?
What? No, there's a second one.
I see there's two of them, and it's
at the very bottom.
One, and then there's the other one. My bottom one says, I'm your problem now.
Okay, Dennis, what is the next one for rearranging them guts?
A turn of phrase that I quite like, which is, that's a dumb place to put towels.
Yeah, talking about unpacking. That's just a Bob's Burgers joke, though.
Fair enough.
Jala, what's the next one?
I'm your problem now.
I have no recollection of what that was. Yeah,
I don't know.
I remember saying it, but I forget what in reference to.
This was it came up during the discussion. It was the multiplayer question about like take a kid's property and make it mature. And we all just did Lego versions of things. Somebody proposed Lego Wolfenstein. The phrase elderly syphilitic Lego Hitler. Came through, so unpleasant. Dennis, yes. What's the next one up with that?
Another assertion, you're not going to make me responsible for this. which is a nice parallel to I'm your problem now.
Yeah. Jala, what's the next one up there?
Taken for granted.
Taken, colon, for granted.
Man, I am so mad Liam Neeson took a shit and went weird. In recent times, I haven't seen how that's shaken out, but
he was good in Naked Gun. I just you hear about his conduct, and it's like, oh man, it's really hard to be like, you know, all for you.
God damn it, Qui-Gon.
Yeah, well, Jala, what's above that?
Bonking, not boinking. I think this I think says that, bonking, not bonking, but I think it's. Bonking, not boink.
Oh, I read it as like sorry, not sorry.
Oh, in the context, it absolutely was bonking, not boinking, because somebody.
You kept on saying bonk. You were bonking people in the Indiana Jones game, and I was like, no, you're not bonking everybody.
I don't know what mods she has installed.
You're bonking people all over the place. You're picking up guitars. You're bonking them with it. Candlesticks. It's nothing but bonks day and night.
Just bonk every object you can possibly find.
Yeah. No. that was you, Jala. So I love this one, but I cannot remember the context in which it came up. Wolf Hotel. I just don't.
I think it was literally Jala. You played a game where there was like a wolf girl.
Oh yeah, it was Okami. Oh. Okami. Okay.
Yeah. The dating sim demo. Yeah, there we go.
It's about the game that I played, and I don't remember.
Yeah. No, and I just did a literal translation of the title.
Right.
Dennis, how about the next one up from that?
Oh, I think this might be Expedition 33 Shade Indy, spelled with three A's.
Yep. That conversation, which, God, every December it comes up. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Anjala, the number one, a toady.
That fish got ups.
No context.
So that's the horror fishing game that you played.
Can oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Demo
there we
for
go.
It anyway.
Yeah. Moving on to the titles of the year, we have a top five on this, and we're going to start at the bottom with Germany Mode Any Percent No Bratwurst. That was about that horror game Threshold, where the difficulty was determined by which country you picked at the beginning. Yeah, Dennis, what about number four?
I think this is a Jala-ism. Yes. Looking at the scenery, screaming.
Yes, this was about Gecko Gods, because one of those games that I played when I was doing all those Next Fest demos was Gecko Gods, and you can play a gecko, and I was very enchanted by this gecko, and I was even more excited when I found out that he could scream. And I was running around, and I'm like, I don't think I'm ever going to solve the puzzles in this game, but I'm going to run around and look at this nice scenery screaming.
Let's see here. Jala, what is number three?
I don't feel so good, Monsieur Stark.
Talking about, I guess, in Expedition 33, people turn to dust.
The gommage, yes.
That's nothing. That means nothing to me.
an extremely good way to articulate effectively what's happening there.
Yeah. Number two is I regret to inform you the enemy is horsemaxing. That was
poetry.
That was Dennis's, or no, that was Ben's strategy game that he's been talking about that I forget what it is, the Roman one.
Anno, yeah.
No, it was no Anno. No, it Anno? Wasn't an Anno game, no. It was like Expeditions Rome or something like that.
I think sure, so. Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, all those Roman games names are mental Teflon.
Yeah, no. I just
I remember. Call them all Gladiator and I would not know the difference.
Oh yeah, and this is when we found out about like the person who decided that they were just gonna like drink nothing but horse Gatorade or something. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, and actually got healthier as a result. So that's interesting.
If the test results are to be believed, I think their liver's fucked. So sure. Their enzymes are all over the chart. who gets to read this one? Let's do Jala.
How can you have anyone but you read this?
Exactly. Okay.
All right. Number one that people picked, and it's very sweet, is the episode where I announced my identity, where I came out, and the title is My Name is Kay Ross, which is very sweet, and I'm so happy that everybody feels that needs to be memorialized. It does feel a little bit special episode-y to me.
I love how you were like, all right, I guess it's really sweet, guys.
It's not really in the spirit of the exercise.
We're all just sarcastic.
It's supposed to be absurd.
Insincere all the time.
It's not insincerity. I very sincerely meant, I regret to inform you, the enemy is horse maxing. we were talking about like the imbalances and stuff, and you encounter, I meant that.
Just about as much as I meant that I would be looking at the scenery screaming.
Yeah.
I mean that with my whole heart, which is about to explode because I'm horse maxing.
It's not insincere. It's frivolous. Those are very different things.
Exactly. Ah,
yes. It has been hell of a year, but there have been bright spots.
Yeah. So thank you so much. You know, that was very sweet for people to vote for that one. And thank you people for voting and for indulging us. I mean, just generally, but also in this.
Well said.
Yeah. So like, we're not going to have an episode until the new year. When January comes around, keep an eye on the level podcast.bsky.social for the prompts to go up, that Monday afternoon or so. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Dennis, for taking all this data and compiling it and stuff for us.
Oh, it is a very specific cross section of my nerdiness. So happy to do it.
Appreciate it. The end boss. Now it is time for the end boss, where we talk about the things that are happening in the world of video games around us and how we feel about them. Looking at the stories, let's just go in the order that they're posted. I'm going to go, Jala, you first.
Sure. What the fuck are the Game Awards? I don't care. Let me tell you about New Zealand's gaming sector. Which is up 38% while globally everybody else has dropped. I just had to say that.
Or wait, no.
Everybody else is... Yeah, right. Everybody else is going to be probably talking Game Awards stuff. Everybody everywhere has been talking Game Awards stuff. Anyway, so let me tell you why New Zealand's gaming sector is now up, and like they are actually making more money over there on in their gaming studios than anybody else. Mm-hmm. So during COVID, most of the gaming studios ended up scaling up and then had to downsize after, you know, nobody was stuck at home anymore and they were all going back to work. And New Zealand at that time only had a baby industry. So the baby industry didn't have the ability to scale up during COVID and therefore didn't have to downsize. But not only that, but this year, the year of our Lord 2025, the game spaces that have seen the most growth have been indie space and AA game space, not AAA, which that means that New Zealand's gaming, you know, scene or what have you, was right in the pocket for what was growing at the time in the first place. So just kind of like a nice little confluence of a couple of things that just led to them being in a good situation where most everybody mm-hmm. else is struggling real hard. So, and like, it's also worth noting that Clair Obscur was made by like a 20-person team in France. And then Bellatro was one person in Canada who mm-hmm. made that. And like, those are the types of games that have been the biggest hits this year. And, you know, if 1 to 20 people, not like massive teams, not huge AAA titles, it's smaller stuff that's been, you know, getting more attention and really seeing that kind of growth. And I forget how many people were working on the Dispatch game, because I know that not like in a week they sold like a million copies, and I don't know.
It was a smaller studio.
Yeah. So anyway, just food for thought, and maybe gonna move to New Zealand, I guess.
Maybe the worst place.
Yeah. So
the examples they give are of New Zealand games that have done well is Path of Exile and Path of Exile 2.
Mm-hmm. Huge, gigantic. Yeah.
And then Dredge, which makes total sense. But I can't scan in the article. I don't see any other examples. So I'm wondering if those are the only two we would recognize, or if there's a deeper roster that I'm just not aware of.
Path of Exile 2 might be enough for, you know, to account for a lot of the growth.
My original question was going to be like, okay, is this just Path of Exile? Like, Path of Exile has an expansion this year, so you're up 38%.
Well, and then it could also be that these studios that are in New Zealand are like subcontractors or something for other places as well.
Yeah.
Or, you know, working in, you know,
interesting.
That's also a possibility as well.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, takeaway other than individual breakout successes or whatever, like, I don't know. There's something to be said. Smaller studios tend to just maintain a lot more continuity of staff, but also like the slow, steady growth, phenomenon versus everything else seemingly, especially America, where it's like the boom and bust cycle, expansion, contraction just disrupts everything and wastes a lot of effort. Like, I don't know. Seems like a good model to me. Not the boom and bust one. That would be a crazy thing to say, unless I was like a fucking VC.
I was going to say, unless you're a billionaire, in which case I'll never forget. I had a friend that worked at a wealth management firm, and right when all the GameStop stuff was going on, and I asked him what he thought, and he's like, it doesn't make any difference, man. Like, as long as the market is moving, we make money. That's all we need. Like, it doesn't matter if it goes up or down. It's just movement. And so the more volatile, the better.
Literally commission. Yeah.
So that's who we're serving with our markets. It's nice to see New Zealand is serving maybe a bit more of the average person with theirs.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
It just seemed like some nice game industry news for once to share.
Yeah.
So, good on them.
For my story, it's not nice video game industry news, and also it's a pretty annoying story, and it's developing as it goes. Like, today on Blue Sky, so we're recording this on Tuesday, and just generally everywhere, people are reacting to an interview that Larian's Sven Vinke did with Jason Schreier, I believe. Where we talked about a bunch of stuff. Like, they revealed that, you know, the new Divinity game is going to be a turn-based strategy game, turn-based tactical kind of game. That's cool. People were talking about it maybe being an action game. Neat. Cool. Less cool is the fact that Sven Vinke, kind of against Jason Schreier's recommendation in the in the interview, when you read the transcript, started talking about Larian uses AI. Everybody at the studio is just kind of cool. We use it for PowerPoints and concept art and placeholder text, and just kind of as a place to start. Also in the interview revealed that we haven't really seen that many productivity gains from this. So people are reacting just like, what the fuck are you doing? Because like you're burning all of this trust and goodwill that people have for you making, I mean, an incredible game, but also like a streak of pretty incredible games. And then just coming out and saying like, yeah, for this next one, we're just going to like just fill it with rat turds. Right.
Yeah. I mean, between this and their snuff film of a trailer, it is a bad time to be a Larian.
I didn't see the trailer, so I don't know.
There's no reason to.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sad I did.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And then, you know, people blew up, and then Sven Vinke gave another kind of, you know, response clarifying like, oh, we're not, basically saying the same thing. Like we're not using AI, you know, for our concept art. We have all of these artists, we're hiring more, blah, blah, blah. But then just said like, yeah, we'll use her for like reference or we'll just, you know, composition or whatever, like things that AI is very like famously terrible at doing, you know, so like, I don't know. It really just kind of seems like stepping on your own dick. And the question is, what are they going to do? Are they going to double down and say like, this is just who we are, blah, blah, blah. Or are Larian in general or Sven Vinke, you know, as solid as they seemed before and we'll take this and say like, yeah, no, we'll change our practices. Like we didn't realize this was a sensitive thing and we take your points, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. That's up in the air. I don't know.
It's amazing. It would be amazing to me if they didn't already have a read on the room before, but then again, yeah. Who knows?
But he's finally gotten enough money to have his brain melt. That right. This is the pattern.
Enough money, enough attention, et cetera.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, like, and he's speaking for like the entire studio saying like, oh yeah, they're fine with it. And a bunch of other stuff about Larian kind of has come out around this. Like they don't have any, like if you work there, you are going to like emigrate to be there. Like there's no remote work at all. I guess their like interview process for writers is notoriously fucking wild. Like you have to submit like a playable prototype in engine instead of just like providing writing sample and stuff. Like it's a bunch of, like it's a lot. It sucks seeing, you know, especially a studio that you have been a booster for on your very public platform come out and be like, yeah, no, we're, you know, no company is good, but I don't know. They seem solid. And they're not.
There can be good people with control of it.
Yeah.
It's reached its inshittification phase, maybe. We'll see. I
hopefully not. And you know, and if this is just egg on our face, we'll go back and we will do like an audit of everything that was done with this. Who knows?
I don't think that's the thing that's wild to me. How do they not understand how easy it is to walk this back?
Right. Like
to it's only been a PR problem for one day.
Right.
Like to not double down on Blue Sky, to just give a humble apology instead of trying to like throw shade or make excuses like, oh, sorry, that was not representative of how we think. I don't like, you know, it's not hard to walk that stuff back. Mm-hmm. And yet the compulsion in these situations seems to be for people to double down.
It's CEOs.
Yep. Yep.
Ugh. So yeah. Annoying. Dennis, round us out with some news about Silksong.
Yeah, let's end on an unqualified win. Obviously, Hollow Knight Silksong has been a defining game of this year. And they are apparently going the Hello Games route of just like, hey, want some free shit? Because they've announced a free expansion coming in 2026 called Sea of Sorrow. And you know, I will put the disclaimer, I haven't finished Hollow Knight yet, but it is what I have played is extremely good, and I cannot imagine not wanting more of it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be nautical themed. And details are otherwise pretty sparse, but like I don't know, like this, they could have put this out as a $60 game and made three times the money and they didn't. And they could have put out this expansion as an equal price to the game to the price they sold the original game at and made a ton of money, and it's free. And it's just, you like, it is so refreshing to see people making business decisions that support a strong creative vision for what they want to do, yeah, rather than just support milking an IP for money.
Right.
So good on them. Can't wait to play Sea of Sorrow.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's very, so they did similar stuff with Hollow Knight with the first one. Like they had post game support for like a year and a half after it came out. Like there's a lot of Hollow Knight I haven't played because it was just added after I finished it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's it. I did not hit a difficulty wall. I just decided I wanted to wait until all the content was out.
Right.
That's what happened.
Then it's not the kind of game you can just step right back into. Yeah.
Nope. Nope. It's, I mean, I feel rusty after not playing it for a day.
Yeah. So we'll see when it comes out, all of that. Like, but it's good to know they're following suit, that it's going to be, you know, as generous as it is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Silksong has to have made every single person who worked on it independently wealthy. Like,
I don't know about that.
maybe not, but like to then decide, hey, I'm just gonna keep on doing cool stuff instead of got mine, fuck mm-hmm. you, sweet.
Yeah, pretty cool. I'm fading fast, y'all. Yeah. How do you all feel about butting it up?
Buttons. But credit. Oh, and I have one thing about zippers I have to tell you. So, okay, all right. So the first zipper was displayed to people in America at the Chicago World's Fair.
People rioted.
They didn't know what really. To do. No, seriously, the first zipper was shared at Chicago World's Fair. That's all. Continue.
So you've sent me down after we closed.
Thank you everybody for listening to level number 100. Or nope, that's the time. We're at 1 hour and 28 minutes. thank you so much for listening to level number 569. We appreciate you taking the time. As I said earlier, no new episode until the new year. We're going to be, you know, doing holiday stuff. I've got a lot of stuff to do. Thank you so much. If you watched, gave, or helped signal boost Duckstream, helped make it such a huge success. If there's more news about that, we'll share it, but now we're just getting ready for next year's, I think. And if you want to help out this show, help out DuckFeed, you know what to do. We'd say it all the time. Jala, what's going on over at, Jala John's place?
Yeah. So this month, continuing my gothic horror phase, I have Dave Jackson from Tales from the Backlog. He read a book, y'all. He read a book. And he came on my show to talk about Frankenstein, the novel by Mary Shelley. And then to kick off 2026, I will have a couple of episodes on Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein, the movie. Sweet. Because that movie is my entire personality right now.
You have things to say.
I have so many things to say. And not only that, I have other people on the show that are going to be there. That also have a lot of things to say. But also I wanted to say that over at Fireheart Media, we reached our goal to kick off the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie podcast in the chronological order of operations, if you will. So Dave and I will be releasing one episode a month for whoever publicly. For Put That Cookie Down Now, that will be kicking off in 2026 with the fantastic movie that has like a, what is it, like a 2-star, a 28, a 17 on Rotten Tomatoes, something bullshit. Anyway, Hercules in New York, where Arnold Schwarzenegger had to be dubbed over because he was completely incomprehensible, but pretty.
little bit early in his time here.
Yeah. 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 So yeah, that'll be coming up in 2026. There will be some exciting things. So you can find all of that stuff at all the places that I'm usually found. And yeah.
Excellent. That sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah. Hercules in New York stands at a 14%.
Yeah, I was going to say it was like a 14, a 17, a something stinky on Rotten Tomatoes. Absolutely abysmal ratings. And that's the first thing we're covering on the show.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Cool. I think that's everything. I have been K Ross. You can find me on Blue Sky at K.Zone.
I've been Dennis Furia over at Furia Games on Blue Sky.
And I am Jalichan in all the places you can find me.
And stick around for some titles.
Who are my kids?
Oh, no. Oh yeah, the carousel. Yeah.
Bastard Mountain.
Yeah, okay.
Call them all Gladiator and I won't know the difference.
Okay.
And it's not insincere, it's frivolous.
I also had it's not insincere, it's frivolous. Dennis, what do you have?
Okay, I wrote down three, but one is incomprehensible to me now. So
okay.
I don't know if autocorrect got me or what, but the two that I can read are Fan of My Thing.
Okay.
From very early on.
Yeah.
And then I swear I wrote this down before you said it again at the end, Jala. I'm always in my gothic horror phase. I originally had it styled as that's my secret. I'm always in my gothic horror phase. But
a little bit, a little lengthy.
Yeah.
I'm fond of Bastard Mountain, but by laughs, it's Who Are My Kids?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. It works for me.
Yeah. Any objections?
Nope.
All right.
Do the thing.
It is decided.